4th in 1989, and I have with me today Miss Doris Mead of Westboro. Were you born in Westboro, Miss Mead?
Yes, I was born in the first house on the Upton Road.
Oh, yes, all right. That was...
1914.
My goodness. That's a while. You've seen a great deal of change in Westboro then, haven't you?
Yes, it was the house that my father owned. The house across the street was owned by John Fitch. And mm-hmm. the house next to ours on the right-hand side of the Upton Road was owned by John Gary. Then there was not another house until you got to Maroney's on the Upton line.
Oh, way over there.
All of the land from Navis, from the Fitch House and the Gary House was owned by Faye.
Oh.
Originally, there was no Upton Road. The road to Upton was Warren Street.
All right, yes.
And mm-hmm. therefore, the Fays, their house was in from Warren Street.
That was the
Fays. And they owned all of the land, so they took the land right straight through their property to build the highway.
I see, yes. Now, because they don't, they run sort of parallel to each other, but
yes.
not exactly. Yeah, I can see where that, and that Quail Farm then, or what I know of it is Quail Farm, that was, it's on both roads, it's on the Upton Road and the, mm-hmm.
But originally the property was all one piece.
And that was Faye.
That was the Faye farm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I remember the Faye voice. So we're talking about where Hopkinton Road divides off and you're
and
talking about the
Upton
Hopton
Road.
Goes, and that's where you lived, where you were born.
Right.
Oh. And then you must have had, let's see, you must have had to have, when you went to school, you must have come in on a barge, did you?
On the trolley car.
On
the
trolley?
Yes.
Oh.
The Hopkins into Westboro trolley came right up around the corner into the center of Westboro.
Oh.
And
yes.
we rode the trolley until they were discontinued.
Mm-hmm.
Then we went by school badge.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, in the winter, a horse-drawn pung.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was a sleigh ride every day, twice a day.
I know, because the weather has changed very dramatically, I think, but someone said to me, well, that was because when you and I were young, that the snowdrifts would look larger to us.
Well, but it was against the law to plow a road.
Was it really?
Yes, up until 25 or 26. The roads had to be rolled so that the horses and the sleighs could get the milk down to the depot.
And we were quite a milk supplier.
The milk
not
came from everywhere
mm-hmm.
in Westboro.
Mm-hmm.
And you were not allowed to shovel a road or plow it. That was against the law.
So the horses would have something
so
for
the
footing.
Horses had
they didn't have to go through drifts.
They could take their milk down on their big pungs.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
they had good sledding.
Oh.
They rolled the roads until...
Did the horses do that, or did they use oxen? Or?
No, they used horses.
Yeah, they used the horses. They must have had big dray draft horses then.
Oh, they did?
Yes.
They did some fine horses in Westboro.
Did you live on a farm?
Yes.
Yes. And your father farmed?
Yeah, he raised mainly chickens,
mm-hmm.
several thousand chickens.
Oh.
We had large hen houses. Scattered around the property, and
uh-huh.
raised chickens, but we always had turkeys and geese and two pigs and a cow, so that we had everything for ourselves beside a nice big garden.
Oh, yes, almost self-sufficient.
It was.
Now, you said you had chickens. Did your father send them to the market, or did you sell them?
We sold eggs.
Mm-hmm. That's what
and
I mean, the eggs. I wasn't
and
too specific.
We did slaughter chickens and sell those to McDonald's stores.
That was
the main thing, the egg business and to sell the hens
mm-hmm.
too.
Did you help with that? Did you?
I was too small.
You were too small when that was... Because I can remember I lived with... in the summer with my grandfather, going out, what to pick up a nice warm egg.
Oh, yes.
And have a fresh egg. That was wonderful.
Well,
that's what I meant.
I helped to that extent.
Yes, yes.
But
no.
As far as cleaning out the big houses and that, we were both too young for that.
Mm-hmm. Did you have a brother or a sister?
One brother.
Mm-hmm. And then if you were doing that, was your mother teaching you about cooking and sewing and
everything
like that? That.
Well, my mother was brought up a Quaker.
Was she really?
Yes. She went to Quaker school from the time she was 5 years old.
Oh.
And therefore, she always believed that you never sat with idle hands.
Uh-huh.
And we were trained, both of us were trained to do almost everything. My brother could run a sewing machine and whip up curtains and anything.
Good for
else.
Him.
And he could, well, he made quilts and he could knit and he could crochet. We were taught everything.
Yes.
So
that was a little bit different upbringing than the ordinary.
I have my first quilt that I made when I was 6 years old.
Oh, what a lovely treasure to have. And did your mother practice being a Quaker? I mean, was there any place around here that she could have?
Only in Worcester.
Yes, I knew Worcester, but someone asked me one time if we had had any Quaker gatherings, I guess, or meetings.
No, we haven't. Worcester is the nearest.
Mm-hmm. Are you a Quaker now?
No.
No.
I belong to the Congregational Church.
Yes, yes.
But I still, you know, I lived with it for so long that I still could never sit down and do nothing.
Mm-hmm. It's a very gentle.
And when I won't go out to buy clothes, I always think it shouldn't be bright.
Oh, isn't that interesting? What did she use? Grays and
blues. And
mm-hmm.
Anything that was a quiet color.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And what else would you tell me about that home life? Because it is a little different than most of us experienced.
Well, I don't think it was too different for the times. We raised everything that we used in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Other than buying a barrel of flour and a barrel of sugar and a gallon of molasses now and then, we raised everything.
Mm-hmm.
And when it was time for supper or dinner, we went down cellar and picked out the jar of beans and the jar of carrots, went over to the potato bins and got the potatoes, and brought up a jar of peaches. We washed the jars and put them down cellar after the meal and
saved
them for the next year.
For the next year, yeah, for the next harvest. Did you, what about your recreation then?
Well, we had an automobile. Ever since I can remember. Of course, my mother had her first car in 1904, and my father had his first car, I would think, around 1908 or 9. And
wasn't your mother progressive?
Oh, yes. First woman in Massachusetts to own her own car and have a license.
Well, you told me something interesting about it the other day.
At that time, we had one registry of motor vehicles in Boston. And after you had purchased your car and driven 200 miles, you sent a penny postcard to the registry in Boston, and they sent you your license. And since my mother bought her first car early in 1904, she sent her penny postcard saying that she had driven 200 miles, and she received one back saying that since she was a woman and no woman had been issued a license, they thought she should drive a little further.
Have more experience.
So her brother said, put an extra zero on and send it back. Actually, this was a physical impossibility because she lived in the western part of the state. We had no paved roads in 1904. And between the mountain ranges and the condition of the roads,
mm-hmm.
it would not have been possible to have driven 2,000 miles.
No.
In 1904.
No. She would have had to gone cross country, and that even that wouldn't have been on the dirt roads, too.
But as I say, we always had an automobile.
And do you remember what make it was?
Buicks.
It was Buicks.
Every year. And we went to Boston. Of course, we had good train service.
Here?
There was 26 trains a day into Boston.
From
Westboro. I mean, they came from New York to Worcester uh-huh. and Boston.
Oh,
and you could get down to the train station anytime and get a train to Boston. So a great many of the women here in Westboro shopped in Boston. There was nothing but you could get on a train and go to Feline's and Jordan's and do your shopping and come home. Plus going in to eat and go to the theater.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we weren't out in the boondocks at all.
No.
Not with that kind of service, were we?
The service mm-hmm. was wonderful.
Yes.
And of course we had all the men that lived in Westboro and worked in Boston. There was just crowds of men up there every half hour in the morning mm-hmm. going into Boston mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. work.
Mm-hmm. What years was this?
Well, this would have been the 20s and the 30s, right up into the 40s.
Yes, I know. We yeah.
Because the trains were still running in World War II.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But that's amazing, isn't it? I mean, when we all sit here now and can't get through the square, wouldn't we love to have a train to take us to Boston? No, that's fair. I didn't realize that I never thought of Westboro as a hinterland at all mm-hmm. because I grew up in Newton, so yeah. in Westboro, and we used to have the trolley that would, that would come out to Worcester, so, you know, but I didn't realize.
Our train service was very, very good in Westboro, mm-hmm. and as I say, you could go down there any time, and a few minutes a train would come along.
Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. And the trolleys, too, you could go to Marlboro and Upton,
Hopkinton. We had five trolleys coming into the center.
Mm-hmm. Well, Glenn speaks about that and, you know,
in his book.
That's an interesting book. Spent a lot of good times together while he did the research. And did you go to Lake Chauncey?
Occasionally.
As I say, we're talking.
We used to swim down there.
Yes. But, it was still, didn't burn until the 40s, did it?
No.
So, and they used to have movies and...
Oh, they had everything down there, mm-hmm. all kinds of interest. There was a bowling alley there at one time and dance halls.
How did your mother and father meet? Do you remember that?
My father was from Troy, New York.
Mm-hmm.
And his folks died and he came to Springfield to live with his aunt and uncle. And he grew up and graduated from high school in Springfield. And then he went to East Hampton during the summer to go on another uncle's farm.
Oh.
He visited his uncle in East Hampton. He did not work on the farm.
Did he work in the mill?
No, he went up there to visit for the summer when he was a little boy.
Mm-hmm.
And after he graduated from high school, he went up to East Hampton to live with this aunt and uncle. And he got a job with my mother's brother in his garage.
Oh.
He ran one of the original garages where they did service on the cars, mm-hmm. making wheels and
It was a lot more basic than we have now. Yeah.
And that was my mother's brother owned the garage. He met my mother up there.
Mm-hmm. And they both like cars.
Very much.
How did they happen to come to Westboro?
We're trying to get away from family.
Oh, I've heard that before.
That might as well say
oh, sure.
the truth.
And it is true, yes. a young couple should perhaps do that.
They saw the ad in the New England Homestead magazine.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
For this farm in Westboro. And they talked it over, and they took a train from Springfield to Worcester, and came down here to look at it. And they both said that was what they wanted.
Yes. How much acreage did you have?
At that time, I think there were 5 or 6 acres. A lot of apple trees.
Oh, nice,
and
yes.
Peach, plum, cherry, crab apple, pear. We had all kinds
of... Oh, isn't that wonderful.
Trees.
Oh, what a treasure.
And we lost we lost all of the apple trees but one in the hurricane.
Oh, in 1938.
All the trees went over.
That was very devastating to Westboro, wasn't it?
Was.
The trees. Yeah, as I've seen, I didn't live here then, but I've seen the pictures.
And back when we were born, it was a way of giving a present to the family. Some neighbor would come and plant a tree for your baby.
Oh, how nice.
And the Fay family planted a tree on the left-hand side of our driveway for me when I was born. Mm-hmm. 11 months later, my brother was born, and they planted a tree on the other side of the driveway. And in the storm of 38, we both cried because my tree went down. And Pete said, my tree went down.
Oh.
Those were ours.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. What a nice idea, though.
Well,
tradition.
Another thing, in Westboro, on Arbor Day, they used to give every child a tree on Arbor Day.
When was this? Remember? What years?
This would have been in early 1900s, late 1800s.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Because you could go around town, and the year that they gave catalpa trees, each child would take their precious little catalpa tree home, and mother would take it out by the barn door and plant it, or by the back door. You could go around Westboro and see, Mr. Weatherhead must have been in that class. Mr. Dudley must have been in that class, because the catalpa trees. And then another year, they gave him horse chestnut trees. And he'd go around and say, oh, they must have been in the class that got the horse chestnut trees.
Did you know Marion Weil?
Oh, yes,
yeah,
very well.
Marion Weil gave us one of her catalpa trees. And we planted it. This is a long time ago now. This is 30 years or more. So maybe it was one that she...
It probably was.
Isn't that... I never knew that before. And they did that with the children.
Mr. Henry was the tree warden.
Oh, I know that name, yes.
And he was the one that gave every child a tree.
Little bitty.
And when you went home, or your mother or your father said, oh, put it by the back door, put it by the barn, or something.
Mm-hmm.
You could pick out the houses and... the different
people.
Oh,
that is that really is, yes.
So when we were born, Mr. Fay came down and planted a tree, and that was mine. And then a year later, another tree, and that was my brother's.
Which Mr. Fay was it now?
Let's see, this was, Harold Fay was the Submarine Signal Corporation in Boston. Thornton Fay was the banker. Would have been Richard Fay. He was the Episcopal minister.
Yes.
It would have been Richard.
Isn't that interesting? The trees. Oh, what a shame they went down. Oh, dear. How long did you live on the farm?
50 years.
50 years. My, my. And did your mother and father live?
Right after they died, I sold it and bought this house on Milk Street.
Yes.
Because that was much too big.
Oh, yes. And a lot of land to take care
of,
too, if you had all of those, yes. Well, what else interesting do you remember you can share with them? You've got some wonderful stories I've never heard before. Yes, we were talking before about recreation and what did you do for what fun.
When my father and mother had been here several years, there were some young people in town who were interested in a golf course.
Oh.
So they got together and they bought the Turkey Hill Country Club.
Oh. You said that they bought the Turkey Hill Country Club.
Yes.
Now,
these were individuals that bought it.
Uh-huh. And your parents were among them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And they went up there and these men worked with their teams of horses and they graded and they filled. They put in the water system and they brought Mr. and Mrs. Spence over from Scotland because he understood greenskeeping. Of course, he stayed here until he died.
Yes, that's a familiar name.
He built a house up there.
Mm-hmm. Was it all wooded?
No, it was fields.
It was mostly fields. Well, because it was a farm.
Yes.
The Pollard farm, and then the Raymond.
But it was mostly fields.
It's a lovely area.
Yes.
But what a wonderful idea.
So they, all the men contributed a sizable amount of money.
As well as time.
Yes.
And,
and they built the golf club. And it was a very successful club.
Oh,
very,
yes.
Very well known.
Did you play golf?
A little. It didn't appeal to me.
No, it doesn't
my
to me.
My father
either.
Was.
He must have
liked golf.
Was he? Yes, he
my
must
father,
have been.
Mr. Blois and George Taft and a lot of Hulberts.
Mm-hmm.
They were all top flight golfers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's it. Now, see, I had never heard the real history of that. I had known, you know, Bay State, and I had
known. Well, Bay State bought it from this group of men.
This corporation. Yes. And then they sold it to the town.
To the town.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, but that's nice to know, too, the background on that. And so the recreation for your father was riding around in his motor car and playing golf.
He didn't have them in those days.
No.
No, he played a lot of golf.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so did it most of the group that bought it.
Mm-hmm.
They
mm-hmm.
And of course they had beautiful tennis courts up there for the younger people. That was something for a lot of the young women.
Yes, I wonder what happened to them.
They made it a parking lot.
Oh, is that where they were? Oh. I don't remember that. No. Well, we have a few tennis courts around, but not, the ones that I've seen haven't been too well kept up.
We had a beautiful tennis court down at the community house.
Oh, yes, but then did they sell that to Bay State?
Parking lot.
Yeah, to Bay. There we go again.
It was sold to the people that bought the Keating building.
Oh, yes, it's their parking lot. Oh, but didn't the Forbes sell that to them? No.
It was Bay State.
Oh, it's Bay State. They bought it from the Forbes and then the Keating. If we keep this up, you know, there's not going to be one square inch of grass left in this town. Mm-mm. Well, I wondered about your schooling, if you remember anybody in particular that was made an impression on you, or if there was some, you know, the teachers or your schooling.
I went through grade school and high school here in Westboro, and I think I remember every teacher I ever had, but the outstanding teachers were Maud and Alice Gilnard and Annie Fales. Those were the top-notch teachers in my estimation. Alice Gilmore always wrote beautiful plays, and they were plays that included everyone in the class.
Isn't that a
part in the play? And the year that I had her, in the seventh grade, we went to school at the community house because the high school was being built at that time.
Oh, yes, back then.
So Alice Gilmore had the seventh grade at the community house, and it was new at the time. We had a fire in the fireplace.
Oh, yes, nice room.
We were allowed to go out. The Bay State had not been built then. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had that big yard down there. And that's where our football field was.
Yes, yes.
So we had a nice play area, and a very nice new building for seventh grade. But she was an outstanding teacher. And of course, when the new building opened, we came in as the eighth grade in the new school, and we had Ruth Wadley for English, Virginia Rankin, Mr. Prescott, Mr. Holmans, Clyde Riley, Mr. Fisher.
Oh, yes.
Pearl Gibbs, Ellen Crow, Louise Porter Andrews for music.
Dorothy, yes, I remember
Dorothy
that.
Dorothy Marshall for art.
That's a lovely building, too.
Yes.
Beautiful auditorium.
Yes.
I wish they could restore or do something.
I wish they could, too. Well, we had some very dedicated teachers.
You have such nice memories of that.
Most of these teachers are gone. But Mr. Fisher is now living with his son in Connecticut, and I write to him.
Oh, do you?
Twice a month.
Oh, isn't that nice? Yes.
He was...
What did he teach?
Oh, he was the athletic.
That's what I thought. Yes, he was the coach Fisher, yes. And I remember when he retired.
Yes.
Yes, they had a wonderful program, and everyone turned out for that.
I write to him twice a month.
That's wonderful that you do.
Just to keep him in touch.
Yes, yes. And he still, does he write to you?
Oh, yes.
And he answers?
Yeah.
No, and you keep, certainly things have changed, too. You keep him active mentally in Westboro. And did they have any art as well as music in the schools in the high school when you were going to school? Did you have an art program, you know, drawing or anything like that?
No. I think our art ended at the eighth grade. So in high school we had just the standard courses.
But now what years were you in high school? Was it during
the 30s?
Well, then, what did the Depression make any tremendous impact on Westboro? Do you remember?
Yes. I can't remember having seen anyone with any underwear that was not made out of a flower sack.
Really?
During the Depression, everybody's mother had to make their underwear for them. And when it came time for graduation, the Westboro Women's Club got together, and they, between the husbands and wives, they had to outfit nearly all classes.
Isn't that extraordinary?
There were very few people that could afford. They had done well enough to get them through high school, but it was a very tragic situation, but everyone seemed to be better off for having had to live through it.
Well, I would think it would strengthen them and bring them together and
I look
think
back,
about each other.
I look back now and think of all the string that I used up. A knitting and crocheting dishcloths.
For heaven's sakes.
No, for dish towels, my mother always took the backs of my father's shirts and hemmed them. And those were our dish towels. For many years during the Depression.
Yes.
While we were not poor, we went along with the times and probably didn't overreact to it.
Did this story...